Accession number 30559, Reel 1.
My name is Upendranath, and my surname is Pathak, and I was born in Amritsar. At the time of the, just before the partition, I was 17, and I was at college in Lahore. My parents lived there. My father, who was a doctor, was the chief blood transfusion officer of Punjab at that time. So we were stuck. He didn't want to leave because of the partition. At that time, there were a lot of riots. Every day there were news of fires, arsons, and murders. And I had to go in the morning, I remember, to collect the newspaper, where I used to walk about 200 yards or something like that, to Muzang. That was the largest Muslim town, little townlet in Lahore. In fact, we were on a road called Firozpur Road. It was in between Ichra, which was another Muslim predominant village, and Muzang, which was a very large Muslim area. So we were sort of in the middle of it. My college, I had to go through Muzang to my college. I used to go on a bicycle. But then I found that somewhere in February, March, January, many days I didn't go to the college because there was something going on in Muzang. We will listen to the radio in the morning, and it was not safe to cross that area for a Hindu boy. And we knew that the Radcliffe Commission had declared the border lines, and we had by that time discovered that Lahore was going to be in Pakistan. That means that people like us would have to move. There was no choice. And but my father decided that because of his important job and all these people needing blood transfusion, he would stay till the last moment. So even by that time, in the month of June and July, lot of refugees start to come into our area, and they would come with the stories of what had happened to them in India. And so we became very aware that there was great unrest. So I one day was sent on my bicycle again to look for a cousin who was a police officer, lived on the same road as we were living, but about 2 miles further up. And I went there, and they were extremely surprised that we were still there. So he sent 2 policemen with me, and we came back, and we took my mother and my father, and the three of us. I put my mother on the carrier of my bicycle, and my father behind a policeman, and we came to this police officer's house. And by now we were safe there, because he had about 5-6 policemen living with him, and who had guns and things, so we felt quite safe. I also was part of a sort of right-wing political organization. And we heard that deep in what was going to be Pakistan, a large number of people stuck in refugee camps, and they had no food. So six of us filled a truck with the old clothes and food and various other things which we had collected from people, and we went on this truck to a place near Rawalpindi. Rawalpindi is into the new city of Islamabad, which is now Pakistan's capital. So this refugee camp was called Wah refugee camp, just near Rawalpindi. When we arrived there, we found about already 2,000 people collected in a Hindu college, which was called DAV College. And suddenly, we found that we were stuck. We couldn't get back. And by now, it was about the 10th of August. And I remember listening to the big speech of Mr. Nehru, which is a world-known speech. I still remember that, sitting at midnight around this little one radio, listening to Nehru declaring to the world that we have a destiny. Anyway, I'll not go into that. But I remember being very thrilled with that speech. And up to that time in the college, my ambition was to go into Indian Administrative Service. It used to be called IAS. They were the elite. So I was all preparing myself for it, and in my studies, in my selection of subjects and what have you. In that refugee camp, the very first day, question was what we're going to eat. So we had to sit in a line, put our hands out, and somebody put a chapati on my outstretched hands. Somebody else put lentils on it. I couldn't eat it. I remember bursting into tears. And the chap sitting next to me said to me, "Son, are you not going to eat it?" I said, "No." So he ate it for me. Same thing next day. But by third day, I was so hungry that I ate it. But this time I didn't cry. I knew we were stuck. And so I had no idea where my parents were, but I knew they were safe. And whenever they leave Pakistan to go to India, this police officer cousin of mine, he will make the transit safe and possible. Question was about me, and I don't seem to remember if I was worried. What I remember is walking around talking to people. I was very impressed by one man. He was a doctor. Only thing he had was a stethoscope. No medicines, nothing. He would be sitting under a tree, and every morning there would be women with kids coming to him. He would examine the children, reassure the mother. He had no treatment to give. And I was so impressed. And that's when I decided to be a doctor. That this is one profession where I would never ever be without people, where I could talk to people, deal with people, always people around me. That's when I changed. Then the refugee camp was in a college, JV College. I discovered the library. In the library were the books of Alexander Dumas. I remember reading Count of Monte Cristo, Three Musketeers, and Porthos, finally, son of Porthos. I read all the books. I read Man in the Iron Mask. All these books were in that library, and I read them. And I suddenly found my English had improved. So in that refugee camp, I improved my English no end. Somebody had Monopoly as a game. I had not seen it before. So we started to play it. And this game used to last all day, all night. Players would keep changing. And when you had enough for 2-3 hours, you got up. Somebody else sat with you, sat in your place, and took over your properties or whatever it is. And that was a great, great help. I remember playing cricket. We drew some lines on a wall, which was our wickets. And we didn't have a proper bat. But we had a piece of wood, which a lot of school children used to use at that time to write in school. We used to call it takhti. We made a rubber ball. Then we eventually were able to cut a branch of a tree and little piece and rounded it with knives and made a wooden ball. I remember playing that. And there are a lot of memories of that time going around. I also learned how to break locks and open a door and go into it. I don't think I should be very proud of my achievement, but I learned to do that. And I also found that I was good at talking to people, and I developed that art. I became very good at it. Other thing I found was that I could go to sleep anywhere, on the floor. Well, everyone had to sleep on the floor, but we had no sheets or things. Just you covered your eyes, put your arm on your eyes, and then just fell under a tree. Then we started to hear. By that time, we were in September, I think. 2, 3, 4 weeks had passed, and the only news was what we could hear on the radio, which was never good news. But we discovered that Lady Mountbatten, because Lord Mountbatten was the Governor General of India, first Governor General, and his wife, we knew had something to do with Red Cross. And I didn't know at that time that she was the president of the International Red Cross. All I knew was that she had something to do with Red Cross. And she, there was an organization called MEO, Military Evacuation Organization. Okay?
Yeah.
I suddenly remembered that his name was Brigadier Chimney, the chap who was in charge of MEO. By that time, we decided not to go outside the compound of that college, because there were dead bodies around. The very first murder I saw or being killed was upsetting. But it's amazing how at the age of 17, you take it everything for in your stride. I don't remember losing any sleep on it or anything. But I did see a lot of dead bodies. There were obviously some or six. They were so obvious. You see, they had long beards and turbans. But the Hindus, they to look at were the same as Muslim. And the joke was that the only way you can tell them apart was that the Muslims were circumcised. And that was the big laughing point in the refugee camp, I recall. And so, somewhere, it would be early September, I think, we heard the day the train would be there to take us. And we'll be accompanied by Dogra soldiers who would protect us. So a list was made of the people who were on the train. I couldn't get inside the train because it was mostly women and younger children who are old people. We had to sit on top of on the roof of the train. And I remember somebody said to me, tie yourself to a little projection. And so I tied myself to that. I don't even know what I tied myself with. But so the train started. And it was a stop and start affair. The first big stop where we stopped for about 24 hours was a place called Jhelum. And now that was about 100 miles, could be about 100 miles from Rawalpindi. And we were on our way to Amritsar. That would be another 150 miles. We heard that there were a lot of people in the villages stuck who didn't know what to do. So, four or five of us, the so-called, the chaps who had come from in the truck, we decided that we will try to gather those people from the nearest villages and bring them back to this train. So, we went to the village. And it took us a few hours to go and come back. The train had gone when we came. So we went back to the village. Now the question was, what do we do? So somebody suggested, why not walk? It's only 150 miles to 200 miles. It will take a few days and we should be there. It seemed very sensible. So we started to walk. And the people, somehow this caravan kept increasing in size. Lot of people joined in, lot of people. What I remember is that the women who would join us were always dressed in their finery. And I felt they should be in rags to invoke some sympathy from audience. But they said, no, this is the best they thought. They'll try to save their best possessions. And so we kept walking. Most of us used to live off the land. Some of the villagers had brought food and little bullock carts, which were loaded with their stuff. So it would be very hot during the day. Luckily there was no rain. I can't recall any rain. And we kept very on the close of, there's a road called Grand Trunk Road. The story is that it's built in 16th century. It goes right across India. And we stuck basically on to this road. And we kept walking. I also remember a white man who came, and he was asking questions. Because I could speak a bit of English, I certainly could speak better than my other friends, and I had been practicing reading my various books. So I used to tell him things. It seems that he reported a lot of those things somewhere. Whether he was a BBC reporter, I wouldn't know. But it was called Overseas Service. Somebody told my parents, I later on discovered that somebody had mentioned it to my father. That the description of that boy who is being quoted looks very much like his son. We didn't know what was going on. All we knew was, by now we had no radios, nothing. We'll walk during the day and then sat down. And luckily, these people who had ox-driven carts, they would light some fire, and we used to collect wood on the way from somewhere, and they will cook. Many times somebody will kindly give us a bit of the food, and they used to share it. There was a great... I also remember we used to sing. I used to sing my favorite songs. And I discovered that many people would ask me to sing. So I thought I must have been all right singing. But later on I discovered that I was sort of better of the worst. So I think that's what it was. I wasn't as bad as many others. We used to tell stories to each other, talk, and food was an item of conversation a lot of times. What we would like to eat when we get across the border, come to Amritsar. I think it took us good 10 days or more to walk. We arrived in Amritsar in late September. Great fuss was made when this large caravan arrived. We took almost whole day to cross the border at Wagha. It was such a big mob by that time. It was long, I don't know how long. Probably somebody said it stretched over a mile. But we felt safe. There were few attacks on it from other villagers, Muslims. By the time I arrived in Amritsar, I was very, very anti-Muslim. This I remember. I had seen murders, I'd seen killings, I'd seen other things. I'd seen women being abducted from our caravan, crying women being taken away. So I just presumed that all the Muslims were awful people. So I arrived in Amritsar, a very bitter sort of person. Um, We were based near another college. It was called Khalsa College in Amritsar. And then I knew that because I was born in Amritsar and I had been there a few times, that I would certainly know one or two people. So I went looking for somebody, and I remember coming to the Amritsar railway station. Almost opposite the railway station, I saw a board of a doctor. His name was Dr. Sushil Chandar, I remember. And I recalled that my father used to have a friend whose son was a doctor, and his name was Sushil Chandra. So I wonder if it was this man. So I went in, and I said namaste to him and announced myself. He got up, put his arms around me. I remember he cried. And he said to me, "You're alive." Oh, I'm so glad. I said, "Why? I am alive." He said, "Oh no, we think you're dead." So he told me that the train which we had left had been attacked, and 200-300 people had been killed on that train. So when this train arrived in Amritsar, they took the names of the people who were alive, who got off. So my name was in the people who left, but not in the list who arrived. So it was presumed that I had been killed. So I asked him, "I'm sorry, give me a minute." "Oh, no, it's okay." So I asked him, "Where are my parents?" He said, "Oh, they're here. They're staying with me because all the staff of the Lahore Medical College has been transferred to Amritsar Medical College. So your father is here, your mother is here, and they're staying with me. But I can't take you home because your mother has already celebrated your last ceremonies. So they think you're dead, and all the prayers have been said for you." So I went back to the refugee camp, and he went home. And my mother came next day. And I remember my mother putting her arms around me. And we cried for quite some time.